Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Action Fanatics, welcome to another edition of the Bulletproof Podcast. I am your host, Chris the Brain, and joining me, my co-host, the very busy Chad Cruz.
Yeah, Brain, thanks for having me, by the way. But you keep talking about how busy I am, but I've been trying to record this podcast for like 10 days, and I just can't get a hold of you sometimes. I don't know what's going
on
with you.
So it's me. You're going to put this on me. That's not true at all. But what is true is we are going to be joined by the one and only Ryan Campbell back on the show.
Yes, this was what I was excited for. I think when you told me that this was on the list, I was like, can I be on that one? You're like, well, yeah, that's why I'm bringing it up. But
we should talk about that.
I'm not going to miss the Meg.
We should talk about it because, last time on the show, Chad, you had mentioned that the Meg 2 trailer had just dropped. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, well, we should do something, in anticipation of the Meg 2. And we were thinking about Jaws or maybe one of the Jaws 2 or something. And it's like, well, and you had the epiphany, Chad, that, well, what better movie to prepare us for the Meg 2 than the original The Meg? So that's where we're at.
Yeah, it was either The Meg, like this one we're talking about today, or we were going to watch Megan, which was a movie that came out recently.
Oh, yeah, the creepy doll one.
It's not about a shark, so.
No sharks in that one.
Darn it.
No shark. We're not going to talk about Megan. We will talk about the Meg, but before we get into that, we've been hit hard with some big time losses. First and foremost, Chad, and it was a huge story here in Cleveland. Jim Brown, the legendary Jim Brown, has passed away.
It's a big hit. There are certain actors out there, obviously he was a elite athlete before his acting started, but there are certain guys out there they just look like they're going to live forever. They just have that aura about them. But, time's undefeated.
That is right. And Jim Brown, I mean, starting with the Dirty Dozen, the Slaughter movies in the 70s, original gangsters. He's in Mars Attacks, is he not? One of your favorites.
Yeah, he's like the bodyguard dude. And you know what? From Dusk Till Dawn, just like.
Right.
Not that one.
What's the other one? No, that's the Hammer. Whoops.
That's the Hammer, Fred.
The Hammer who hates me.
He hates you? What happened there?
Yeah. Everybody go to the bulletproofaction.com, check out 10 things you didn't know about original gangsters, and you could see or read Fred the Hammer, call me stupid. cheap plug, bulletproofaction.com. But yeah, the Jim Brown, the greatest Cleveland Brown of all time, and it's been all downhill ever since, but he was the greatest. There's a statue of him outside of our stadium.
That doesn't do justice to the player that he was by saying he was the greatest Cleveland Brown of all time.
Well, one of the greatest running backs in general.
Probably a little better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was Fireball, for pripe's sake.
Yeah. Great hair in that movie.
Yeah. So
he also just got a rough break of being at the top of his game and maybe the best football player right before the Super Bowl era started. So a lot of his accolades and championships technically count, but they just don't get talked about as much since it wasn't in the Super Bowl era, like right before it.
And then another, just I think a few days after that, this one was a shocker because the man was not that old. Ray Stevenson.
Yeah,
Firefly himself. Wow. From G.I. Joe Retaliation, The Punisher, although Chad probably won't want to talk about that. But, he just did The Accident Man. Both, he was in both, but I just, last time I saw him was in the sequel to The Accident Man, and he's excellent in those movies.
That yeah, he's actually been real big in the Star Wars community the last few years. He did a couple voices on Star Wars Rebels and actually plays like the main villain in the Ahsoka series that starts later this summer. I'm fairly sure all of his scenes were shot and everything was done. But yeah, I mean, he was just at Celebration when they debuted the trailer for Ahsoka, I mean, a month and a half ago. And, you know, a lot of people were really excited about it, so...
I just did a rewatch of the entire Rome series that he was in for HBO just this past year. And that's one of the shows like it. I don't know. There were certain things that I felt like it missed on back then. But on the rewatch, it was just so much better than I remember. And Stevenson's probably the, you know, everyone's favorite character in the entire series. He's just so damn charming. So, yeah, I mean, huge loss. I loved him in that Pirate Stars show that he was on, and Cold Skin is one of my favorites of his. That was a great movie. But yeah, just a massive loss and so unexpected. Some of these, you know, someone's 90 years old, you're like, okay, that's right. Not a surprise, but he was in his 50s.
58 years old, yeah.
Yeah. That's brain, aren't you about that?
All right, let's... far too young. And last but not least, this one most recently... Tina Turner, for heaven's sake, Queen Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. We don't need another hero. We need Tina Turner to still be with us. That's sad. A legend, Chad Cruz. A legend.
Yeah, I mean, everything that she attempted, she excelled at. You could say that for sure. And on pretty much every continent on the planet. And... yeah, just a larger than life character for decades, and another massive surprise because she, you know, she wasn't like a person who was super out there in the last, you know, several years. So it kind of came as an unexpected death for people who kind of, I'm not saying forgotten about her, but had, you know, you listen to her music and it still sounds like new and still, yeah. It's still so good.
Timeless.
That, yeah. You're like, oh shit, this song is 35 years old.
Yeah. I mean, when she, you know, had that big comeback in the 80s, it's like, I remember my uncle was a pretty big Tina Turner fan.
She was a trailblazer. Didn't have a good documentary the last few years about her, wasn't there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause she had a tumultuous time, you know, with Ike Turner back in the day, and yeah, she got it all, and yeah, they did that movie about her too. Angela Bassett played Tina Turner. What's Love Got to Do with It? So Tina Turner, an icon. Jim Brown, Ray Stevenson, very sad. They come in threes, though, they say, and it was definitely true. Since the last time we recorded a podcast,
there's been probably, I don't know, millions of deaths since
more
then.
I understand,
but not too many from shark attack.
That's true.
That's a very good point. Segue. Thank you very much, Ryan Campbell, because we are going to get into it right now. That's what we're here for. We're talking about the Meg. Now, the Meg 2 will be released later this summer. And this is kind of the unofficial kickoff of summer. So let's make people not want to go to the beach. And let's talk about the Meg, which was released on August 10th, 2018. Directed by John Turteltaub, who, what a interesting and varied filmography he has.
That's a sign of a really talented individual.
His first movie, and I have seen this movie. It is one of the Barbarian Brothers films. Think Big, where they play truckers. I almost actually covered that most recently, but. Ended up not doing that, but you never know, I might come back to it. Three Ninjas, I know. Love you guys it. Are fans. Yep. What about The Great Cool Runnings?
Another classic.
Anytime
my cousin would wear that VHS tape out watching Cool Runnings all the time.
I mean, John Candy, anything with John Candy, and I'll watch a million times. And then the National Treasure movies, like big time movies, Chad. I guess Cool Runnings got him in good with Disney, and then the National Treasure.
Once you're on that Disney rotation, you're golden.
Yeah.
It's funny because when I read his name, I was like, who? And then I went and looked at his filmography and I was like, oh my goodness, there are so many of these movies that I love. I mean, you didn't mention one that I think is probably my favorite in this list, and that's Phenomenon with John Travolta.
Oh yeah.
Keira Sedgwick and Forest Whitaker. That was a movie that got watched in my household a lot when I was younger, in my teenage years probably. But yeah, he just such an eclectic background of movies. And now he's doing a massive blockbuster about a shark.
Indeed. And movie begins. We get to see a deep sea rescue mission in the Philippine Trench. We see Jonas for the first time, and that is played by none other than Jason Statham. And I believe this is our first Jason Statham movie we've ever talked about here on the Bulletproof Podcast.
Wow.
Really? So
that's another name to cross off our list of why haven't
we talked. No Transporter, no Cranked, nothing like that?
No. So, yeah, thank you, Ryan Campbell, because the diehard Jason Statham fans would be like, how the hell is The Meg the first Jason Statham movie you're covering? But it just happens that way sometimes, folks. So he gets inside this sub that is apparently not functioning properly because there's big problems, and they're going to find out there's going to be some even bigger problems. There's some survivors, fortunately, but as Jonas is helping one of the survivors, something is just bashing the side of the hull of this submarine, Chad Cruz, and it's something. It's got to be huge to be able to do a nuclear sub. Those things, they're meant for they're battle tested. What's happening out there, Chad Cruz? What?
Whatever it is, it's not good. Let's put it that way. And you know, when things like that happen, you know, decisions have to be made, right? And you typically look at the person who's in charge, and they have to, they have the responsibility to make these calls. And whether Jonas is in charge or not, I don't remember. But but his buddies, even his like his best friends, are trapped.
Yeah,
and he had to make the tough call.
Yeah, it was basic. It was not the Sergeant Slaughter, either we all go home or none of us do. He made the call like, okay, some of us can go home, but all of us cannot. So it's either some of us go or we all die. So
that doesn't sound as good.
No. But it's a little more authentic. I mean, that's how these people are trained. Like these, it's no different than deep sea divers or National Guard or Coast Guard people. I mean, it's save as many as you can, and the rest you leave to the sea kind of thing. But it doesn't help anybody for them to stay and then them all die.
Right, they would have all been dead. So yeah,
I don't know if have you seen any of those. There's a million documentaries about people who climb these massive mountains. And it's kind of a similar mentality, you know, like you go up there knowing that, you know, you may not make it back, and you don't want to be the one to drag everybody else with you. So at times you have to leave someone behind.
Yeah. No, I have not seen those documentaries because I'm too busy watching Think Big with the Barbarian Brothers. But yeah, so the choice is made. People have lost their lives. Jonas did save, I think, 11 people, though. So that's pretty damn good. And the movie then jumps forward 5 years, and we see the Mana 1 research station, which is 200 miles off the Chinese coast. And Ryan Campbell, from beet farmer to billionaire. What is going on? Morris shows up.
That's right, played by Rainn Wilson. And this was like, short, it was still pretty high on his, he was still coming off of The Office. That was obviously what he's most known for. So there's a little bit of it in there. You can kind of see he's definitely playing it from a comedic angle. But yeah, billionaire, philanthropist or investor, kind of ultra, CEO type, isn't exactly where he would usually be, but he definitely gets to flex some of his comedic muscle. But yeah, he's a hugger. Unfortunately has to, can't speak Chinese. And I'll just say about the whole movie in a whole, this was kind of around that time, 2015 to late 2000, I guess we were the teens, where there was a lot of investment going into Western films from the Chinese market. And some movies hit it a little better than others. Some it got pretty bad, but I think this one pulled it off pretty nicely. It kind of makes sense in the whole the way that the Oceanic kind of making it work with that. So I think they did a pretty good job of hiding it. Again, some other films around this time did not do a good job, like that one Transformers movie that's like the whole thing's in China. So they do a pretty good job, just as a side note, of that whole kind of area right now of Tencent and all that kind of getting into the movie production business.
So Morris gets the tour of this facility, and it's an amazing facility. It doesn't look so right away, but once you get into it, man, it is state-of-the-art, high-tech. This thing is awesome.
Yeah, but they would say that this thing's really got an ass on it.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. The deeper you get, the more there is.
Yeah.
There you go.
How do we compare? The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
What? There you go.
Well, we meet the doctor in charge of this, or, you know, scientist Zhang. He's got his daughter Su Yin. His granddaughter Mei Ying is there because it's a family affair. Mm-hmm. And we start meeting the staff. We got Mac. We got DJ. We got Jax, played by Ruby Rose, and Dr. Heller, who's kind of a little bit of a heel at some at points, but we'll get to that.
It sounds Mac, DJ, Jax, and Dr. Heller sound like a Street Fighter Part 7 or something.
I like it. I like, yeah, I could see that. Mac now thinks that what is believed to be the world's deepest trench is even deeper.
Mm.
Bum, bum, bum.
And they've got a team out in their little submarine type gimmick. I don't know what it really is. It's very G.I. Joe like, some of these
visuals.
Which is okay with me. They're gonna check out if this theory is true. That means it's insertion time, Chad Cruz.
Hell yeah.
With Lori, the Wall, and Toshi. That sounds like a late 90s WCW lineup.
Yeah, it does.
Pulling out all the names here.
So,
and Toshi's the guy from Heroes.
Yeah, that's right.
That and nothing else that I can think of.
I never saw it, but I'm aware of the show.
Oh, I got another one for you. He was in Austin Powers, the original Austin Powers, when what he points he? Out the Godzilla that's storming. Oh,
that's.
But it's not. That's him.
Stereotypical.
Don't ask me why. That just came to my mind.
There you go, Ryan Campbell. You've just earned your spot on the show this time, just from that reference.
I just try to bring
because you know what? Some of these people on our website, if you don't mention every fucking movie somebody's been in, they will leave a goddamn comment about it. Well, I got news for all you people. Go fuck yourselves. How about that? Jesus fucking Christ. I didn't see every goddamn movie ever made, so I can't reference that two jackasses that were in this fucking movie I'm talking about were also in that fucking movie, all right? Go fuck yourselves. All right. Where were we?
Oh, man.
Oh, DJ. He controls the remote rover from the station. DJ doesn't really seem like he's into this whole deep sea situation, and that's going to come out as we go.
How does DJ even get a job here?
Yeah. Like, there's always one guy in these movies that just does not want to be there. You had like LL Cool J in Deep Blue Sea. There's always one that's just like, you know, you gotta wonder. They're like, I can't swim, or they're afraid of water, or something like that.
But the interview process.
We talked about Jaws. We were going to talk about Jaws. The sheriff of this beach community was afraid of the water, didn't want to go.
Yeah, but he's not the sheriff of the ocean.
That's a beach community.
He sheriffs the land area.
Well, things might happen in the water, Chad, and he might have to go in. And that's exactly what happened. And he had to overcome his fear. But we're not talking about Jaws. We're talking about the Meg. Ryan Campbell, you were saying something, weren't you?
I was talking about how there's always one person in these movies that doesn't like the water, but I believe I finished my point. I didn't really have much else to add to that thought.
You don't. Yeah, very good. Your point has been made.
They send down that freaking rover.
The rover. The rover doesn't rove long.
It's just down there.
It gets knocked out, and DJ's like, something's happened to the rover. And suddenly something's going to happen to Lori and her crew because they're under attack, and it's panic. And the video from inside the cockpit says, Jonas was right. Jonas was right. What the hell? Now they're screwed up. They're down and out. They got 18 hours to live before their oxygen runs out. So desperate times, Chad Cruz call for desperate measures.
They do indeed. And you know, everyone's screaming and crying that they have 18 hours to live. That's at best, right?
Right.
That's if whatever's attacking them doesn't continue to attack them and they just leave them alone. But they are running out of oxygen, and the fact that Jonas was mentioned a couple times here, it's time to call for the man at this point. So they go to Thailand, they find Jason Statham just kind of hanging out, drinking beer every day.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty awesome, actually. Cruising around this boat, letting everybody else do all the work.
Yeah, we kind of briefly skipped over some context there, though, that when after the event where Jonas couldn't save everybody, he was very critical. People were very critical of his decision making. They think that he lost his cool and left men to die. You know, they didn't believe him when he told the story of this giant thing that had sunk the sub. So, you know, in typical fashion, like these movies, people don't listen to him, and he's now disgraced, and that's why he's drunk on a beach in Thailand.
Yeah, it hasn't gone down. It hasn't done a dive since that fateful day. We get the Thai cover of Tony Basil's Mickey, which is quite interesting. But Mac and Zhang are the one who go to find Jonas, and they convince him. At first, he's very reluctant, but once they show him that video of Lori, he's all about it, because he had a relationship with Lori. It's his ex-wife, Chad Cruz.
Yeah, most men would be thrilled to leave her down there.
You knew there was at least some sort of amicable split between the two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been like, thank God. He's like, let's drink some more.
Serves her right.
I don't have to pay alimony anymore. He was very concerned. And while that's going on, the wall gets the auxiliary power going. And this is a point you brought up earlier, Chad, because, you know, that thing was, they were attacked once. What's to stop them from being attacked again?
Yeah.
And once the lights come on their craft, here it comes again. Another attack. And this time, Lori is seriously injured. So now time is running out for her in more ways than one.
Yeah. The injury makes things worse, of course. But you're running out of oxygen. You're at the bottom of the deepest trench on the entire planet. So there's a lot of things going against them right now. But luckily, Jason Statham's on his way, and that makes everything better.
You know, the Meg 2 is called the Meg 2. The trench. I'm assuming we're going back to this deepest trench ever.
You think, or the trench is coming to us?
Oh shit.
Well, that's one that we'll get to it a little bit later in this one, but this movie does a pretty good job of laying some seeds and setting up a future, universe or sequel films about all these different larger than life animals that live down here below this sea level. So they did a good job kind of setting it up. So I wasn't surprised to have a sequel, but yeah, I assume that we'll be seeing a lot more creatures than just the Meg in the sequel.
All right. Well, back at Mana One, you know, Heller is talking, and he was actually one of the people who was saved by Jonas 5 years earlier, but he did not agree with his decision making doesn't believe that there was anything attacking the sub. He just thinks that Jonas flipped out, you know, lost it and made a bad decision. So he's talking shit to Su Yin, I believe. But Su Yin's like, all right, well, you know, we're not going to wait for this madman, then this potentially unstable human being. I'm going to go in and I'm going to tow them out with the glider gimmick. Because now we also learned, Chad, that attack, now there's a leak and that oxygen is going out quicker than expected.
Yeah. I mean, things just keep getting worse for these guys down there. I mean, you got three people stuck in a closet space down at the bottom of this trench. And you're running out of air. You got a leak. You got big ass fish trying to kill you. There's not a lot of good things happening right now, but luckily, my girl Li Bingbing is on her way. Cheers to her.
Cheers to her indeed. And Jonas gets to Manawani. He has to have a little bit of a physical before they send him in, and kind of has some words with his old buddy Heller. And then has to remind him, though, that they are in international water, so he could legally beat the shit out of them if he wanted to, which is a great line. That was definitely a fun part there. And then Jonas is ready to go, and kind of Brian Campbell, you could see, which, you know, obviously 5 years ago has not left his mind, because there's a little trepidation before he goes for it.
Yeah, it's definitely those things where, you know, in instances like that, especially when the adrenaline's pumping in the aftermath and you have everybody telling you, not believing you, telling you you messed up, you start to believe them and you start to kind of question, like, did I remember that correctly? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I was losing it. So I think at this point, you know, he's pretty much lost confidence in himself. So he's doubting himself. He's thinking, you know, maybe that was my fault. Maybe those people did die because of me. But he's got to get past it because, you know, he's got to get down there and save his people.
I would have liked to, I'm going to rebook something real quick, Brain.
Please do.
This is just a very simple thing. And you don't
have to
spend.
That's why people listen to this show.
Yeah. You don't have to spend much time with this, but we kind of just caught up with Jonas after like a 5 year, downward spiral effect that he's had, and he's landed in Thailand and he's been drinking heavily, and they rush out there to find him. They only have 18 hours, of course, and they rush out there to find him, and they talk him into coming back to help them. I would have liked for maybe a moment or two where he's trying to sober up. They're handing him coffee. He's chugging coffee, and he's got a headache because he's hungover, and he's just like very irritable. You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Stay them to the max.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
All right.
That was simple.
It was a very simple and slight change, but it could have made all the difference.
They did that Independence Day.
Yes, absolutely. Just like an Independence Day.
You're feeding them coffee to sober them up before they put them in a jet fighter.
And that's perfect.
Check out our Independence Day episode in the Bulletproof Podcast Archives. So Su-Yin is there. She gets in a toe position, but something bumps her out of the way. And what you kind of mentioned a little bit just moments ago, Ryan Campbell, there's more than just giant sharks down here, because there's a giant freaking squid. And this thing is going to crush her like nobody's business. But then now we see the freaking Meg. And everybody sees this thing because it's on the video. Jonas is not crazy. There is a giant freaking shark, a megalodon, if you will, the Meg for those in the know. And, you know, Jonas tells Su-Yin, you better go back. He makes it to Lori's ship, gets Lori out, gets the wall out. But once again, it's almost like a freaking 5 year ago flashback, Chad Cruz. But this time, he doesn't have to make the decision. Toshi makes it for him.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those moments early on in the film where we get a character sacrificing himself. And, you know, he saves people in the process, which is great. And the character's not in the movie very long, but he writes his letter and he puts it in his buddy's pocket and basically just kind of leaves himself there as fish food. But, yeah, it helps everybody else get the time to get out.
Yeah, he definitely knew that there was a very good possibility he was not making it back, and wrote that letter to his wife. You know, but once they get back, you know, Su-Yin, who had to hear Heller's bullshit from earlier, I think that kind of stuck with her, and she starts accusing Jonas of leaving Toshi there. She doesn't know the situation. She's upset that her friend is dead. It all makes sense. But it's actually Heller who apologizes to Jonas. And Jonas says, you know, you can make this good. Just make sure you save Lori. We'll be even if you do that. So
I bet he did after he saw that giant Meg on the screen.
If he didn't apologize, he would be the biggest jackass in the movie. But we'll find out who that is as we go on. Suyin interrupts. Oh, yeah. Here's a situation. Now, I know he's been in Thailand drinking a lot.
Yeah.
He also had to be doing some serious workouts. He wasn't just sitting there drinking beers all day.
Yeah.
Because he's in phenomenal condition. Something that Suyin takes note of.
Oh, yeah. Suyin. You know, I don't know which one who was wetter, him or her, after he got out of that shower. But he steps out, you know, for all to see. And Suyin's blushing, man. You know, can you blame her brain? You loved it, didn't you?
Could you imagine if it was our friend Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Ooh, he would have had a zoom in.
He would have been doing the helicopter like Ric Flair.
I think she said to him, "I want to see you in me." I think
it's what.
Oh, very nice. So they have a little conversation. Oh, I'll let you get dressed, but you know, she leaves and she takes a little peek through the window. Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't? We all would.
So now we go to a briefing about the Megalodon. It's probably 70 to 90 feet. Which is real freaking big. Morris, though, he's like, let's proceed. You could start seeing how this man became a billionaire, Chad, because it's all about
science.
It's all about making money for this.
How did he become a billionaire, though? Because he makes a lot of bad decisions.
When you're a billionaire, you can afford that. Ask Tony Khan.
But you have to get the money somehow.
They're like the wealthiest.
Well, maybe like Tony Khan, his dad is the one who's really the billionaire, and he just gets to have fun. And like, I like oceans. I don't know.
Chad Cruz, the most wealthiest person on the planet, spent $44 billion for Twitter. So I think that establishes the questionable decision making of billionaires.
Good point, Ryan Campbell.
I don't know if that was for money, though. That was for something else, I'd say.
So, more it's like we need to go after this giant freaking shark because but Jonah's like, there's no scenario where it's man versus Meg and it's not a slaughter. And it's a slaughter for the man. You know, we're going to die. It's basically, we're going to die.
What
are you doing? So it is a little foreshadowing. And while that's, they're having the grown-ups are having a conversation. Mei Ying is playing off somewhere. And there's all kinds of, windows all throughout the facility. So you could look at the sea life, the ocean life. That's what they're there for. And she comes face to face with the Meg. And she thinks a monster is watching them. And she ain't wrong.
No, it's frightening, to be honest. Imagine really being that far, that really deep, and just seeing everything. That's not for me.
And seeing their whale friends get eaten. That's not nice. They named those whales.
That's right.
They were like pets.
It's like when we were kids and my grandpa had cows and we named them all and then he would have them killed and give us all the meat.
How'd they taste?
What's his beef prices, by the way?
Yeah, Chad Cruz is all about getting a bunch of beef.
Dude, I got beef for days.
We had one of those giant freezers in our basement that was just filled with meat.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hell yeah.
That's Chad Cruz. That's Chad Cruz.
Meat is my love language.
I know it is. We find out the Meg escaped through this thermal tunnel gimmick is what I have here.
Yeah, whatever. Just say whatever. You know, there's a lot of that in this movie where like, yeah, we got this pod that'll go down real far. Okay, whatever.
They blasted out to save Lori and the crew, their blast created a temporary tunnel.
Was it just a natural phenomenon? Isn't that what old Ruby Riot said or whatever her name is?
Ruby Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Her character is kind of strange. There's She's a few of the characters. Strange. They don't seem to fit in. You're like, what are you doing here?
That's the beauty of the Meg. It toes the line so well of camp and logic.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, how many of us have are experts in this field? None. So you could say anything and I'd be like, that's probably right. I don't know.
And that's it. In that way, it kind of reminds me of Armageddon, where it's like, we're going to drill into this asteroid. We're going to put explosives. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Instead of training astronauts how to drill, yes. It was easier to train drillers to be astronauts.
Yeah, dude. Way easier.
Which Ben Affleck says on the commentary to Michael Bay of the movie. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good
classic. Like, that's one of the best commentaries.
Affleck's like drunk off his ass during the commentary session. He's just telling Michael Bay how stupid his movie is.
Well, he may not have been wrong, but it was fun. It was a fun movie. As was this movie.
There's a place for that in this world.
There really is. Yeah, everything doesn't have to be doom and gloom. You could just have fun for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Like, have you seen the trailer for Oppenheimer? My gosh, that looks like a just pretentious snooze fest, if I ask you.
Take that.
I'm going to go see Barbie.
Take that. you fools. All right, so, now it's basically time for a shark hunt. Because they're the ones responsible for this thing swimming out there for the world to now deal with. So they better go. And the Meg ain't wasting any time, Chad Cruz. It's already taken out people. But fortunately, in a little bit of you deserved it, first target is a shark poacher's boat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's ironic, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Apropos.
Got more than you were expecting for chumming out your boat there.
Yeah, chums. You're no chums of the Meg, I'll tell you that. Right. All right.
Wouldn't the sunlight like hurt its eyes or something?
I don't know, Chad Cruz. What are they, vampires?
I don't know. They're like in a trench, like in the middle of the earth.
Sharks aren't really known for great eyesight already. They mainly use, those little dots under their nose and echolocation and all those other things. So I don't think eyesight's too much of a concern.
I'll accept that.
Thank you.
Don't you ever watch Shark Week?
I was gonna know that, and that's exactly what.
Yeah, but
Morris
sharks. Yeah, but those sharks aren't in the deepest trench. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's like animals that are in caves. Like,
once you get so far down, there's no light anyway. So at that point, you're just, you're just bragging about how deep you can go. I'm pretty sure regular sharks can already go deep enough that there's not much light.
I don't recall ever bragging about that.
You ever talk to a shark?
For good reason, Chad Cruz. There's very good reason. You can only say so much about how deep you can go.
Yep.
Balls deep? All right, let's go into... What is happening on this program?
Is there a Brittany in this movie?
Oh, geez. Okay, so Shark Week is mentioned by Morris because he's like, well, why don't we just put a tracker on this thing and then we'll know where it's going. We don't have to, like, follow the destruction. We could get there and hopefully prevent destruction. But putting the tracker is not going to be the easiest thing. But Su-Yin believes, if a single person just goes near it, the Meg's not going to feel threatened by a single person. So it's possible. Why would it feel threatened by this little thing? It'd be like if a little fish swam by. Is it going to go after it? Probably not. So Jonas, of course, is the one who's going to go in. And wouldn't you know, Chad Cruz, it works. First time, one shot, he's got it.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. Too easy, one might say. I know I was like, well, that was real easy. But then when they're reeling them back in, that vibration of the reel. Oh, shit. Now the Meg's like, what the hell's that? And he's like basically a big-ass fishing lure at this point.
Yeah.
And, he's the worm on the hook. And the Meg comes after him, and we get our one of many close calls in this movie.
Oh my gosh. And Jonas always seems to be, front and center for all these calls. And every time someone comes up with a good idea, it always ends up that he has to do it, which is insane.
Well, Well, I mean, we talked earlier about this cast of characters. I don't think there's anybody else in that boat that we would even feasibly believe could swim or even do any of these things. So,
Mei Ying.
To the reason, if you're on that boat and you're looking around at the options you have, yeah, it's going to fall on him.
Yeah, I could see that. But you know what? With that said, Su Yin, and this was kind of ridiculous, and I'm going to... So they have this polycarbonate shark cage.
Yep.
So now that they've got the tracker, now they're going to also try to poison the Meg. And Su Yin, with her extensive shark knowledge,
mm-hmm.
is the one who's like, okay, this one I have to do. I know the weak point on a shark. So she's going to go in, chum in the water, immediately bring some of these tiny 8-foot sharks, but they clear out because here comes the Meg. And what is this, unknown to any normal layperson, point of entry? She goes for the freaking eye. No shit.
The size of a monster truck tire.
No shit. The eye. Gorilla Monsoon taught me anything in this godforsaken world. It's that no matter how big and strong you are, you get a thumb to the eye, you're screwed. So the same would apply to a giant shark. You shove something in the eye, and that's a weak point. It's a weak point on every living creature that has a freaking eyeball. But thank God we had Su Yin, scientist, to do it.
12 years of school for her to figure that out.
Give me a break. No, it doesn't break the cage. But that's a problem. Because the Meg could just swallow a whole freaking cage if it wanted to. And it wants to, Chad Cruz. But who doesn't want the shark to swallow that cage? Our boy Jonas.
No, here goes Jonas once again having to save people. It just seems to be all that he does. I wish I could think of a movie out there where there's a more heroic character. Like, I'm like thinking, racking my brain, trying to think of a movie where a character is like from beginning to end, basically does everything correctly. And is like, he's even like, he even saved his ex-wife.
Superman.
Matt Damon, yeah, Super, and the Martian.
Superman was kind of like a, he was kind of a pussy, though, you know?
What did you just say?
Oh, it's geez. True.
What is your podcast? Why would you say that?
It's how true, so? Dude. Because why? Lois Lane was right there, like, you know, sweating him hard, and he was just like, eh. He was all scared. Nah. Jonas, man. Jonas.
Talk about chum in the water.
Do you know what Superman could do to a woman?
What? You tell me what.
I mean, if...
I remember this discussion from Mallrats.
Yeah. No, he could have potentially killed her. He was doing the heroic thing there as well, because if he gave her what she wanted, she'd be split in half. I got news for you.
You don't have to know that for a fact.
You don't have to be Kryptonian to be a gentleman, Chad.
She'd be split in half, or she'd have a hole through the top of her head, because something would just...
Are you saying that Superman's a virgin?
I'm saying...
It's okay if he is. I'm just...
He probably, at that point, wasn't sure. I'm sure he learned how to control it after some time. Or maybe he was banging Kryptonian women. I don't know.
That's why you get like those Egyptian...
Maybe Wonder Woman and him hooked up. But Wonder Woman could
She's not Kryptonian.
But she's an Amazonian.
You got to get those Egyptian cotton sheets that are lined with kryptonite. That's how you do it.
Oh, that good job, Ryan Campbell. Thankfully, someone here has some knowledge of Kryptonian sheets. All right. So yeah, as you said, you know. But meanwhile, the Meg is pulling this the boat. It's a bad situation altogether because it's all connected. So Jax goes overboard. Su Yin's losing oxygen. The crane is being ripped off. They got another crane, though, so they set a trap. And once again, another freaking close call. This time with Jonas and Su Yin. They even kind of tease a little Su Yin death. Are we going to get another dead one? I don't know. No, the answer is no, not yet.
He's got to be a stepdad eventually by the end of this thing. So,
so they caught, and now it appears though, Chad, that they've caught the Meg.
Yeah, good job. I mean,
and it seemed very early in the movie for this.
Good job.
There's there's several things in this movie that, you know, you see the megalodon.
Hold on, that's a whole different movie. It's a whole different movie.
What version of this did you see? Because he had a towel on in the version that I saw.
It wasn't the Chinese version.
Okay. Oh boy.
Oh man. Anywho, so yeah, you see the Meg early on, which, you know, you think about other shark movies, the really popular and super good ones. You know, they don't kind of spoil that right away. So this movie kind of shows you the Meg really early, and then they capture it quickly. They're always kind of evading it. The shark's like super badass, but it really hasn't killed hardly anybody at this point. So once it's captured, you're like, okay, I have a bad feeling that this thing's going to break free and murder half the population.
Right.
And it just might.
It might. And, you know, of course, Morris is there declaring, like, look what we did. What a scientific discovery. This is going to make me money. And Zhang is like, I don't know. This isn't good. But wait. That was a little Meg. Because here comes another one. And this thing's even bigger, Chad Cruz.
Oh, man. These big-ass Megs. They just keep showing up.
It's a good swerve. That was a really good swerve.
Yeah, bro.
They even got the part where they're all, like, standing next to it taking pictures. And
right. You know, oh, yeah. The wall's going, like, put your, yeah. Like,
yeah, we're all going, oh, it's going to wake up and snap. You know, that's what they're clearly leading us all to that. And then, boom, swerve. Here comes the bigger one. Jumps right out. Destroys the entire boat. Big mistake from the movie. Like, you know how a lot of movies, like, that second weekend they're out, they'll put new commercials out and they just give away so much shit from the movie. Like, the second weekend this movie was out, they put the new commercial out and they showed that part, like, the
thing
jumping out. So, like, they totally ruined.
Do you not want to make money?
Yeah, I remember after it first came out, that being one of the moments that people were talking about, was like how well it was done, how, you know, nobody saw it coming, and then they give it away in the commercials. But it was a great. I'm glad I got to see it before I saw that commercial.
Thankfully, yes.
You should. Sorry, I'm already laughing. You should have seen the twist in Megalodon.
Was there an even bigger one that came out of nowhere?
Oh, it came all right. Multiple times, and it made others do so as well. Right,
did
Chad?
It also shoot up through someone's head?
Oh my, sorry.
That was from the movie Lode Warrior, starring Peter North, but that's an old school one. yeah.
Real ones know that.
That's right. That's a deep cut. Wall is dead. The boat capsizes, as one might assume, what a giant freaking shark, basically. Comes in and takes a bite out of the other Meg that you had hooked up to your frickin' boat.
They're probably going to need a bigger boat.
Classic. Zhang is badly injured. Heller and Jax are out in the water, and this is where Heller really redeems himself, because, again, he was kind of an asshole at the beginning. But he sacrifices himself so Jax can make it back. So rest in peace, Dr. Heller. You may have saved yourself. You may be Dr. Heavener now because of your good deed there at the end of your life. They got the little raft gimmicks. Or are they rafts? They have motors on them. But they're still... They kind of reminded me of the... Again, Cobra had that... I had a Cobra boat with the little motor.
Yeah, what do they call them in Call of Duty? Is it like a... jib or something? I don't remember. I don't know.
Chad Cruz, this is where we defer to your military expertise.
Well, I wasn't in the Navy, so how the fuck should I know?
You don't cross learn different things, so you know, you can
cross pollination.
Nope. All right.
Well, Chad Cruz is it's the thing that Cobra had. It was a blue boat and it had a freaking, it looked like a raft, but it had a motor on it and it was real cool. I liked it. Morris now has called in some reinforcements because this man has money and So we've got helicopters and stuff coming and all this. Zhang does have a heart-to-heart with Su Yan. Basically, kind of apologize. You know, he was kind of real demand, I guess, demanding father. Expected a lot of his daughter. And then,
as most Asian fathers tend to, it's kind of.
Then he dead. So he's gone. So, but they had their moment where he was able to say what he wanted to say to his daughter.
He should never have a heart to heart with someone in the movie because then you die immediately after. So right. Just like, I'm not saying anything to you right now.
If life imitates art, just never have a heart to heart ever with anyone.
Agreed.
But if you're listening, you could die from it. Based on what, if movies are taught as anything, you could die from it.
Yeah, never share anything. Just listen to podcasts.
Yeah, listen to this one on repeat as often as you can. So they get back.
Research on the boat name, and so far it is called a boat.
Thank you, Ryan Gable.
I'll keep checking and get back to you.
Thank you. So we get back to the Mana One. Mei Ying is there to greet her mom. Very happy that her mom's come back. But then she has to break the news to her about her grandfather. So Jonas is there. He's checking on her, make sure, you know, obviously she just lost her dad. Morris comes in, announces, hey, I've called all the necessary governments around. They're all aware that there's a giant freaking shark that could kill everyone. So it's in their hand. They're going to figure out what to do because they obviously have more resources than we have. So we're going to have an evacuation ship here tomorrow. They'll pick you up. Thank you, everyone. We did it.
What a smart, reasoned response from someone in one of these movies. And typically they would be like, no, I can just handle this myself internally and have all the money and get all the glory. Like that's a refreshing take for a person in a film, for a character.
Hold that thought, Ryan Campbell, because when the event, so now Jonas is missed. He's just checking on everybody, Chad. Like he's the ultimate hero. Now he's got to go check on Lori. and Lori's like, oh, I heard you and Su Yan. Yeah, I heard Su Yan took a look at your megalodon earlier. Let her have it because Lord knows we weren't good together, but you're a good man nonetheless. We just weren't right for one another. We're both good people. We just weren't a good fit together. So, and then there's Mei Ying. mommy wants your penis. So everything's good.
If you remember though, Brain, Lori, received an injury, a wound, if you will.
A wound,
yeah. And I mean, that's one more hole.
What?
What? That's I'm not stupid. Tracking with that one.
He was doing so well, and then he just brought that one up.
That was for Brain. No, it's just for me and Brain.
What? Okay. What is more? Now, though, Ryan Campbell, you may want to retract what you said moments ago, because Morris seems to be up to something. He's got his men coming out. They're going to kill the Meg with these depth charge gimmicks that really aren't depth charges, but they're like depth charges.
Oh, man. So he didn't even call the authorities?
I don't what think so. Jerk. I don't Come think on. So. And I won't ask Chad what these things that aren't really depth charges are called because he wasn't in the fucking Navy. All right.
You're bombs, so we're moving dude.
On. We're moving on. So they blow up this thing. They think they've killed the Meg because this was a giant thing in the water on their sonar, I assume. So they blow this thing up. Aha, we did it. There's now all the sharks, all the regular size sharks come. Oh, they're feeding these. What a crew. What an animal. It's just like, oh, you're dead. Well, we may as well benefit from it. They're just feeding. Man.
Ocean's wild.
Then they realize, oh, wait, that wasn't a freaking Meg. That was a big-ass whale. Oh, those whale people are going to be on his ass.
That's the least of his worries.
But there's really no time for that because bye-bye, Morris. He's on the carcass, the floating carcass, and the Meg gets him.
It's like every time this movie kills a good person, they kill a bad person. It's just like
it's
balance.
Even Stevens.
I like when he was like, give me one of those teeth. I'm going to make a necklace out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, it ain't got no teeth.
Right. That's how they knew it was a whale. And I mean, even if it had teeth, what would that thing would, that tooth would be very big.
It'd be a big necklace. Yeah. He'd be.
People find them. People find them on the beach.
Megalodon. It'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah. They're like fossils at this point, but people find them still.
All right. Well,
I'll Google that too. That's kind of,
but this one's super deep in the trench, Ryan. Come on. You know how deep this thing was?
Super deep.
Super crazy deep. Deepest trench ever.
Deepest trench ever. Mono one team. Tunnel. Yeah, a thermal tunnel. Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Those a loose tooth is not going to be able to go up from the deepest trench through a thermal tunnel and wash up on a beach. It's just not going to happen. I mean, how is this tooth propelling itself? Unless something eats it and like barfs it up and shoots up through the thermal tunnel.
There you go.
You know, so now the Mono One team, they figured out, okay, that dumbass didn't call anybody. He said he was a lying sack of shit is what he was. So now we have got to kill this thing because we can't call. We'd be like, hey, everybody. Hey, Chinese government.
Bunch of randos out here.
There's a giant shark. They'd be like, go fuck yourself. Right? Wouldn't they say that? They'd say it in Mandarin or something, but I don't know what that sounds like. I'd have to ask John Cena. He's fluent.
That's true.
So they are like, we got to kill this ourselves. So when that evacuation ship comes, we're just going to take that thing and we're going to start a plan and we're going to figure out what we need to do because this thing is going to hit the highly populated Sanya Beach. Ooh. And boy, is it populated. Let me tell you something. I see this scene of just all these people floating around out there. And do, like, to me, that would not in any way be a vacation. Like,
no,
I'm taking a vacation to get away from people. And instead I'm floating in this water with who knows who. Nah, that's horrible.
Yeah. People the worst part is everywhere. Some of the cities they live in, or even that is getting space.
Yeah, that is true. So, you know, it's all relative. Good point, Ryan Campbell. Thank you for pointing me in the right direction. There's also a wedding party on a boat going on. There's a little dog. Is that little dog the same little dog on the poster for the sequel?
Yes.
Wow. Good for you, dog, getting a
yes, return. Because that's the big, you know, reveal at the end of the movie is the dog makes it.
Oh, spoiler alert. So yeah, fun in the sun turns to panic. You got that guy in that ball, like American Gladiator style almost. And he's just rolling over people. That was one of my favorite scenes.
With a smile on his face.
Oh, just loving life. It's fight or flight, and his flight has kicked in big time.
Zhu Qiao Ni Ziji.
Is that a, okay? We apologize for anybody listening that.
We have a big audience that speaks
in China? Maybe. I doubt it. So the Mono One team's got to attract the Meg away from the beach and start their whole plan. But now there's helicopters and they're like, what's going on over there? So there's helicopters come and we get a classic exploding helicopter. And then you got to have it. And then this is a moment where it really felt very Fast and Furious to me. He says, it's about the people you save. That's like their version of family. And this definitely does have a kind of a Fast and Furious vibe, just with sharks.
I would say this is almost more believable than probably the last five Fast and Furious movies.
Well, that may be true. So, yeah, we get that. Su Yin gets to save Jonas's ass for once.
Finally.
You know, there's blood in the water. The end is as ridiculous as the entire movie has been, but really, they really bring it at the end here, Ryan Campbell. because you gotta do a lot to get rid of this Meg.
Yeah, it's quite the ending, and you know, of course, we get the great shark blow up scene with bloods and guts and body parts everywhere from this giant shark. So we get a little bit of everything. We get speeders and driving around, and it's all good. And Jonas guts the thing and flies in the air and hops out. I mean, it was a really cool heroic like moment where he's out of the ship and it's just man versus beast. It was a really good ending. Yeah, everyone goes home happy. The Meg is dead for now.
And it says Finn at the end. Get it?
Clever.
Mm-hmm. I get
Chad Cruz, your final thoughts on the Meg. Your decision to watch this and for us to cover it. And you know, it was a first time watch for me and I enjoyed it. But your thoughts?
I like it. I enjoyed it as well. I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. And I said, this is just one of those movies that's fun. And, you know, I can talk a lot of shit here as we're reviewing it and make fun of this and that. But it is one of those movies like you, know, you kind of turn your brain off for a couple hours and just kind of enjoy the spectacle of Jason Statham fighting a massive shark. And yeah, I mean, it's a movie about a megalodon, not a huge penis.
Right.
But it's it's a good movie. It's not going to like win any awards, I don't think, but fun.
And it looks good. I mean, obviously there's been a ton of shark movies over the years. A lot of those sci-fi level movies. You know, this is a big budget. This looks good. I'm very pleased with, you know, there was the option to rent this movie for $4 or buy the special edition DVD for $7. And I went with the special edition DVD, and I'm glad because this is something I would probably rewatch at some point.
Hashtag physical media.
Hashtag physical media. Indeed. So yeah, as a first time watch, I loved it. Again, it's the perfect movie to kick off our summer season here on the Bulletproof Podcast. Ryan Campbell, your final thoughts.
Yeah, definitely one of those movies that I find myself coming back and watching probably at least once a year. I'll watch it. You know, it's one of those good ones where you got nothing, you're just sitting around. It's an easy watch, the quick watch, the fun watch. It knows exactly what it is. There's definitely something to be said for when a movie isn't trying to be something it's not. We brought up the comparison to the Fast and Furious franchise, and I think that movie, it kind of doesn't know what it wants to be. Like it does a lot of crazy.
Well, I think that's been around for so long, it has to keeps evolving into other things, or devolving,
like,
depending.
But even like at the heart of it, it seems to think it's like this like serious like movie about, I guess, family.
The heart of it is family.
Yeah, and the Meg isn't trying to be any of that. It's like you came to see a big ass shark swim around and wreak a bunch of havoc, and we're gonna give you that. We're gonna throw some jokes in there, we're gonna throw some swerves at you, and you're gonna have a good time. And
let's revisit that statement when we are covering the Meg 7. Okay.
We're like, I just picture like the Meg with sunglasses and like a gold cross necklace around
and,
yeah, it.
And it's now and, teamed yeah, up with Jason Suyin and Jonas have other kids now. And yeah, it's
but for now, it's good stuff. One thing that I'm not even a criticism, but just something that's kind of, I'm surprised they show this much restraint. And I think it might be because of the Chinese money and influence in production. There's not a huge body count in this movie. You know, the thing swims into a loaded beach, and like, I remember seeing the trailers and the commercials and your thought is, oh yeah, it's going to open its mouth and just eat like 300 people. And it really doesn't. Like, there's not a huge, you know, body count. A lot of deaths happen off screen. We don't see like a ton of like gruesome stuff. It does look like the sequel is going to have a little bit more of that. If you look at even the initial trailer, the one where the girl's standing in front of the glass and she's like, it's shark, it's Meg-proof glass, and it just crunches through and eats her. It's pretty hilarious. So it looks like we'll get a little bit more of that in too. But yeah, not a really high body count for a shark movie, but not holding that against it. Just an observation I have whenever I watch it.
All right, well, there it is. The Meg and the Meg 2, The Trench, will be coming out, I believe, August the 4th. Of this year, so maybe we'll cover the Meg 2 at some point down the road. I do know what we're going to be covering on bulletproofaction.com, and there's a lot of superhero stuff coming out.
Summer is here.
Summer is here. It's superhero season. The brand new Spider-Man movie. I will actually be covering that. I probably am not the best person on the team to cover it, but I'm the one who got the press screening invite, so I will be covering that one. I believe the Toy Man talked about checking out The Flash, which has the return of Michael Keaton's Batman, so we'll have that. Chad Cruz, will we see Jet Li?
I can say that there is a Jet Li movie out there that, you know, first time watch for me too. So I'm pretty excited about watching it, doing a review for you guys. Yes, Jet Li's coming. Get ready.
Let's go.
Let's go. Ryan Campbell, anything else you are planning on covering or not?
Yeah, I got a few things. It's been quiet on the TV series front. I guess that's because now we're in the summer and everyone, you know, we switched the focus to movies. But I got a few things on the superhero front. My Guardians review is still up. You can go check that out if you haven't read it yet. You know, that's still somewhat new. Other than that, just keep tuning in. We've got Transformers coming up later this month. We've got, you know, there's a whole bunch of more movies leading up to the Meg 2 at the end of the summer. But it's a busy time this time of year with all the every single week a new movie coming out.
Absolutely. All right. Is
he going to cover Barbie? Are you covering Barbie?
I'll be there.
Yeah. There's two movies that come out the same day. One is a deep introspective look at, you know, society and what we expect, and the other is Oppenheimer.
Huh. Oh, take that. That's the second slam you got. Chad Cruz, next time here on the podcast. I actually had an idea and I wanted to run it by you.
About fucking time.
Oh, Jesus. How about a little Blind Fury?
Ooh.
We've yet to cover Rutger Hauer on this program.
Rutger Hauer. Yeah, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, there you go. It is going to be Blind Fury next time here on the Bulletproof Podcast. And as always, we encourage you to check out bulletproofaction.com and follow us on social media at Bulletproof Pod on Twitter and at Bulletproof Action on Facebook and Instagram. Anything else you guys want to say before I wrap this one up? Going once, going twice.
Nothing. Go to the site and just start clicking shit.
Thank you. Please do.
And, hashtag Megalodon.
All right, yeah. There has to have been a movie like that. Porn parody. Do they still do probably. Those anymore? Or do they not even do full-length movies anymore? Do they just do scenes and put it up on the internet? I don't know.
I'll do some research.
Chad is more than willing to do that.
I've got my Google window open right now. I've given up on trying to find what the hell this boat is called. I am now focused on that.
Now I'll see if you can do that.
You two just moan a little bit for me in the background while I do this research.
Oh, okay. No, we're not. I think it's a good time to go. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And as always, stay tuned for more of the Bulletproof Podcast.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.